From Southside to the world, and in association with Middlesbrough Library Services, it's the Book of the Month with Jill Appleton.
For October, we have been reading The Fatiers by Chan Koon Chung.
For November's Book of the Month, we decided to give a novel by Geoffrey Archer a try.
This month, we have been reading the unusually titled The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society by Mary Ann Schaffer and Annie Barrows. For our January Book of the Month, we have been reading Dark Matter by Michelle Paver.
For February, we have been reading another offering from one of Southside Broadcasting's favourite authors, Ian Lennox.
Our March Book of the Month is Small Island by Andrea Levy.
Book of the Month. More than a podcast, greater than a radio show, quite simply an audio treat for the enlightened with Jill Appleton and Jill Prowse. And every so often, some extremely lovely writers. Book of the Month.
This month we have been reading The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. As the subtitle on the front of the book explains, this is a book with a message and describes itself as a fable about following your dreams. The point the story makes is that everyone has a special destiny, and yet not everyone resolves to attain it because of the hard work involved. Reaching one's destiny requires leaving behind familiar surroundings. It also demands persistence, the ability to change when appropriate, and the willingness to respond to omens that point the way.
The boy's name was Santiago. Dusk was falling as the boy arrived with his herd at an abandoned church. The roof had fallen in long ago, and an enormous sycamore had grown on the spot where the sacristy had once stood. He decided to spend the night there. He saw to it that all the sheep entered through the ruined gate, and then laid some planks across it to prevent the flock from wandering away during the night. There were no wolves in the region, but once an animal had strayed during the night, and the boy had had to spend the entire next day searching for it. He swept the floor with his jacket and lay down, using the book he had just finished reading as a pillow. He told himself that he would have to start reading thicker books. They lasted longer and made more comfortable pillows. It was still dark when he awoke, and looking up, he could see the stars through the half-destroyed roof. I wanted to sleep a little longer, he thought. He had had the same dream that night as a week ago, and once again, he had awakened before it ended. He arose, and taking up his crook, began to awaken the sheep that still slept. He had noticed that, as soon as he awoke, most of his animals also began to stir. It was as if some mysterious energy bound his life to that of the sheep, with whom he had spent the past 2 years, leading them through the countryside in search of food and water. "They're so used to me that they know my schedule," he muttered. Thinking about that for a moment, he realised that it could be the other way around. That it was he who had become accustomed to their schedule. But there were certain of them who took a bit longer to awaken. The boy prodded them one by one with his crook, calling each by name. He had always believed that the sheep were able to understand what he said, so there were times when he read them parts of his books that had made an impression on him, or when he would tell them of the loneliness or the happiness of a shepherd in the fields. Sometimes he would comment to them on the things he had seen in the village they passed. But for the past few days he had spoken to them about only one thing. The girl. The daughter of a merchant who lived in the village they would reach in about 4 days. He had been to the village only once, the year before. The merchant was the proprietor of a dry goods shop, and he always demanded that the sheep be sheared in his presence, so that he would not be cheated. A friend had told the boy about the shop, and he had taken his sheep there.
The Alchemist follows the journey of Santiago, an Andalusian shepherd boy, who one night dreams of a distant treasure in the Egyptian pyramids. The next day, Santiago decides to sell his sheep and leaves for Africa to pursue his dream. It soon becomes apparent that following your dream is not going to be an easy task, as on his first day he's robbed and left and completely alone. Santiago contemplates giving up and going back, but then somehow finds the strength to carry on. Throughout his journey, he meets many spiritual messengers who come in unassuming forms, such as a camel driver and a well-read Englishman. Eventually, Santiago meets an alchemist. The alchemists speak of a soul of the world to which we are all connected. He teaches Santiago to listen to his heart and to stay true to his dreams. "My heart is afraid that it will have to suffer," the shepherd boy confides, to which the alchemist replies, "No heart has ever suffered when it goes in search of its dreams, because every second of the search is a second's encounter with God and with eternity."
"I'm the leader of the caravan," said a dark-eyed, bearded man. "I hold the power of life and death for every person I take with me. The desert is a capricious lady, and sometimes she drives men crazy." There were almost 200 people gathered there, and 400 animals, camels, horses, mules and fowl. In the crowd were women, children and a number of men with swords at their belts and rifles slung on their shoulders. The Englishman had several suitcases filled with books. There was a babble of noise, and the leader had to repeat himself several times for everyone to understand what he was saying. "There are a lot of different people here, and each has his own god. But the only god I serve is Allah, and in his name I swear that I will do everything possible once again to win out over the desert. But I want each and every one of you to swear by the god you believe in that you will follow my orders no matter what. In the desert, disobedience means death." There was a murmur from the crowd. Each was swearing quietly to his or her own god. The boy swore to Jesus Christ. The Englishman said nothing, and the murmur lasted longer than a simple vow would have. The people were also praying to heaven for protection. A long note was sounded on a bugle, and everyone mounted up. The boy and the Englishman had brought camels and climbed uncertainly onto their backs. The boy felt sorry for the Englishman's camel, loaded down as he was with the cases of books. "There's no such thing as coincidence," said the Englishman, picking up the conversation where it had been interrupted in the warehouse. "I'm here because a friend of mine heard of an Arab who..." But the caravan began to move, and it was impossible to hear what the Englishman was saying. The boy knew what he was about to describe, though. The mysterious chain that links one thing to another, the same chain that had caused him to become a shepherd, that had caused his recurring dream, that had brought him to a city near Africa to find a king and to be robbed in order to meet a crystal merchant, and the closer one gets to realising his destiny, the more that destiny becomes his true reason for being, thought the boy. The caravan moved toward the east. It travelled during the morning, halted when the sun was at its strongest, and resumed late in the afternoon. The boy spoke very little with the Englishman, who spent most of his time with his books. The boy observed in silence the progress of the animals and people across the desert. Now everything was quite different from how it was that day they had set out. Then there had been confusion and shouting, the cries of children and the whinnying of animals, all mixed with the nervous orders of the guides and the merchants. But in the desert there was only the sound of the eternal wind and of the hoofbeats of the animals. Even the guides spoke very little to one another.
While following his personal legend, Santiago encounters love, danger, opportunity and disaster. Although the treasure at the pyramids is his goal, it is his journey there that is most important. It is on this journey that he learned a lot about himself and the ways of the world. The Alchemist was first published in 1988 and has gone on to be translated into 67 languages and to become an international bestseller. The style of this book is simple and straightforward. It teaches everyday spirituality, the kind that people can use in their day-to-day lives. The central message of the book is that your goal in life and the path to true happiness is to pursue your dreams to the best of your ability, and by doing so you will then become truly alive. This is a beautiful book that stays with you long after reading it, a definite must-read.
From Southside to the world, and in association with Middlesbrough Library Services, it's the Book of the Month with Jill Appleton.
Pharma Nord is the chemist to call for your nutritional needs. All of our products have been built on scientific research to help with your health. PharmaNord can even help in such areas as senile dementia, strokes, and Alzheimer's. All our products are made in accordance with pharmaceutical standards and guidelines. And all our products are just one call away. Call PharmaNord on 01670 519989. That's 01670 519989. Or visit pharmanord.co.uk. PharmaNord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Being chosen as an author for the Southside Book of the Month with Jill Appleton is one of life's top honors. Now on to the Booker Prize for Literature.
Ather & Co. have years of experience in personal injury claims, providing sensible, professional, face-to-face advice to accident victims. I'm Charles Ather of Ather & Co., so you'd expect me to say that. But it's not just me. I'm very proud to say that the vast majority of our clients are recommended to us by other satisfied clients. People who know by their own personal experience that when it comes to accidents, it really is best to choose the one you know, Ather & Co. Insurers are for cars. Ather & Co. are for people. Call now on 01642 222 575.
Book of the Month. More than a podcast, greater than a radio show. Quite simply an audio treat for the enlightened, with Jill Appleton and Jill Prowse, and every so often, some extremely lovely writers.
Quite right, too. The Times, his books have had a life-enhancing impact on millions of people, writing about Paulo Coelho, of course, Jill Appleton's choice for the Book of the Month choice this particular week, or month, in fact. In the studio, we have Rob Nichols, editor-in-chief of Fly Me to the Moon and key musician, or as he's referred to on There You Go, TYG with Jericho Keys, Mr. Middlesbrough, Rob.
Right.
Very good. And also Jill Prowse, legendary from HMRC, Revenue and Customs, and much more, of course, the keen reader and bibliophile, I think. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
And also joining us today, an undergraduate from the University of Teesside, where she's reading psychology. She has more shows on more radio stations in the area than I think anybody else at this particular stage. The record-breaking Louise Hobson, a regular contributor to, of course, Southside Broadcasting, as well as Click Teesside FM, and indeed CVFM, the Middlesbrough Community Voice FM station.
Hello.
Excellent. Okay, so there we are. Your whole TiVo routines for that. Let's go to Rob first. Talk about motivation, talk about sport motivation and so on, a book that changed one's life, etc. What did you make of The Alchemist?
It's certainly a very uplifting message. And obviously you go on a journey with the main character in every way. And I don't think I've read a book quite like that before. Hmm. The language that's used and just the way, sort of interactive way between everything. Everything has a message, everything has an omen. It's an interesting book, definitely.
It draws a lot on both Islamic tradition and both Christian tradition and Maktub, as it is written, as it is said, that comes along through. And that notion of meaning is what is given to things that we give meaning is very much put together on that basis. Do you find it inspiring?
Well, it's funny because in the last year I've been to see production of Dr. D, who was a infamous alchemist. With Damon Albarn, that's going to be a big thing in the Olympics. And I also, the same week as Got the Alchemist, went to see something at the AV Festival in Newcastle, in the tower of the Tyne Bridge, where somebody was speaking in the sort of tongues and doing the scientific, quasi-scientific alchemy, which in this book is rubbished, isn't it, by the actual alchemists that they're going to see in the Oasis. There's somebody who's there trying to turn base metals into gold or whatever.
And curiously enough, the name alchemy is also being used by our colleagues at Cultural Solutions for a festival. They're running an ongoing festival to deal with race hate crimes in Boston and Lincolnshire. They're calling it alchemy. So
really?
There's a message that's coming through that's a changing factor. Somebody who I suspect didn't find the earth move for them when they actually read the book, I don't know, I could be wrong, is Jill Prowse.
It's like reading a fable. You know, very much like a fable to me. And I certainly had no problem reading it. It's something that you want to keep reading just to see how it turns out, really. Maybe it wasn't life-changing for me, but maybe that's because everything's pretty okay anyway in my life, you know. But I can see why some people would be uplifted, because I suppose if you went into this book and you were always searching for something and couldn't find it, maybe it would make you stop and think, well, let's just let things around me evolve as they will, and let's watch for things around me to see if that helps me to move on. It's certainly worth a read. It's very easy to read. It's not a book that's you keep putting down and going back to. Once you've started, then you can move through it very quickly. What I found more uplifting, actually, was when I read about the author at the end. And when you read his sort of history and how his father, you know, to have somebody put away in an asylum because they want to do literature, that kind of thing, is amazing, really. So to hear his story and how from that awful start he's gone on to produce this kind of work, that's uplifting.
Exactly, although we wouldn't recommend lobotomisation, treatment by electron shock treatment or electroshock therapy as a way forward. But yes, like yourself, I was fascinated in terms of that. And initially I was thinking, well, has that become a kind of religious experience? Are we looking at a whole variety of other factors that are actually there as well? Interesting point, though, that it's not a case of necessarily doing nothing, but moving in the general direction of your dreams and seeing where things manifest from that point of view, really, put the thoughts out there. And nothing new in many ways, because it's been around for the last 4,000 years or so, but just sometimes we lose that message.
And as a Harry Potter absolute fanatic, it's lovely, you know, when you heard about the Philosopher's Stone and actually in the context of the alchemy, that made more sense to me, because when I sort of heard it in the story of the Philosopher's Stone, Harry Potter-wise, didn't have a clue what that was supposed to be. So it was interesting,
Intertextuality at work. Okay, let's move over to Louise. Louise, your thoughts on The Alchemist?
It's a really good concept. As a student studying counselling and psychology, it's a really good concept. But I don't see how you can make a story out of it. You've made your point. I don't understand the need to drag it out. And I also think that it's a given mindset. I mean, there's people who are feeling down who may need to have that reinforced, but I just found it...
What, reinforced that they're feeling down?
No, reinforced, like, searching for your dreams, but...
Didn't float your boat on that basis.
I'm afraid not.
Okay. Jill Appleton, return to yourself. How did you find? Because I mean, you said that a lot of people have actually come up to you at the library and actually said this did change their lives. So
yes,
positive things from that point of view.
Yeah, someone recommended it to me, but it's not the first person who said to me that this book changed their lives. So obviously, there is a lot of people out there who find this sort of literature really special to them. And I've read a lot of books similar and a similar thing, and they've really helped me in difficult times. And this maybe wasn't one of the best type of books that I've read and that's sort of passing on that message, but I definitely would recommend it, and I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah,
and it's part of the genre which has become almost a mini industry, and you might say, well, there is a need for that that's coming through, that Richard Bach put together with obviously Illusions with Jonathan Livingston Seagull, a very excellent book to actually read through. Same with respect to James Redfield, The Celestine Prophecy. I hadn't actually encountered Paulo Coelho prior to this, but I think I will probably sort of look at some of his other works and look to feature that, because it's fascinating. And it's interesting, again, the other quote we had on the book itself was from dear old Madonna, bless her heart, basically. The Alchemist is a beautiful book about magic dreams and the treasures we seek elsewhere and then find on our own doorstep, which is a sort of message from that point of view. Be interesting in terms of, obviously, how old we have to be when that message comes across, or how chronologically gifted we have to actually be, because I suspect, Louise, you're sort of thinking that it wasn't really a young person's book. Is that true? I mean, even though it was written, I mean, I would have said most teenagers would have been quite happily able to sort of read it. You know, the language wasn't difficult, really.
No, I believe the concept is applicable to all generations, if I'm honest, so...
There we are. So, we hope you'd be honest. I mean, we don't want to have dishonest presenters. Crucial on that sort of basis. Let's do scores now, because we want to find out a bit more information about the Middlesbrough Literary Festival, which is coming up, which hopefully Jill's got the information to provide with breaking news and so on. Or if you're playing this back as many times as you want on a podcast, just as often as you want, basically. But marks from yourself, Rob.
Go for 8.
Mm-hmm. Jill?
I'm going to go for an 8.
Yep. Okay. Louise?
5.
I'm going to go 8.5, because I think it is more sort of up to that side of things. And Jill Appleton?
I think I will say a 9, because I did enjoy it. And can I just say, if you want a free copy of this book, I will be giving them away at Middlesbrough Institute of Modern Art on Monday. That is the 23rd of April. So if you get yourself there from 6:30... There's lots of things going on, lots of books being given away, as well as The Alchemist, lots of other titles. And there'll be music and poetry and readings from anyone can get up and say their bit. So you're very welcome to come along.
William Shakespeare's birthday, of course, and World Book Night, which is always an outstanding scenario. Sadly, I can't make it myself, but I'm sure that Southside will be represented. Will you be going there, Rob?
I might do, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then we can have a personalised copy of Paulo Coelho, The Alchemist. Jill?
I'll try, yeah.
Oh, excellent. Louise is in Newcastle. It's all right, we understand that. Sorry, I already cut you across for that sort of point of view. Jill, news about the Middlesbrough Book Festival, because obviously people might be listening to this after the 23rd of April, and they might sort of think, oh, darn it, I haven't got a time machine, I can't go back for that. What other goodies have we actually got coming up for the centenary of Middlesbrough Library?
Well, there's all sorts going on at Middlesbrough Libraries. To start off with, we've got our Local History Month, which is in May. So there's lots of events coming up there, including our Central Library's birthday party. And there'll be different speakers in, and we've got the wonderful History Wardrobe, who will be showing the gowns of the period of the Titanic. So that's going to be really exciting. And Queen Victoria's tea party as well, if you want to come along. And then we have the Literary Festival starting on the 16th of June. And that goes on till the end of June, which there will be lots of creative writing workshops. There is a crime night. We've got...
Rob Nichols,
yes, yeah, of course. We've got quite...
Not in the crime nights, just in case...
A few of our Southsiders who will be there. Dean Wilkinson is there, and Kadeem. So we've also got the author Janet McLeod Trotter and Joe Abercrombie, to name just a few. So look out for the brochures, but I'll be passing on more information as we get closer to the date.
There you go. And next month's book of the month?
Well, I thought that we'd read a book by one of the authors coming to the Literary Festival. So we've got a book by Joe Abercrombie for next month.
Splendid. Fantasy, I believe.
Fantasy, yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, mind you, life is just a fantasy. Same. Every time I listen to one of Jill Prowse's pieces on behalf of one of the government agencies, I can't say
anything. Now, behave yourself, Alex.
You've been listening to the book of the month with Rob Nichols, Jill Appleton, Jill Prowse and Louise Hobson. It's time to say happy trails.
Book of the month. More than a podcast, greater than a radio show, quite simply an audio treat for the enlightened with Jill Appleton and Jill Prowse. and every so often, some extremely lovely writing.